that's 10 times. And every time I was getting about 35 minutes. And I was like, that is too long. I cut it down a little bit. It should be just about the right length. Hopefully. Sorry if I keep you a little longer than you were hoping. Okay, so the title of my lesson this evening is The Uncertainty of a Tomorrow, or How Tomorrow is Not Guaranteed, if you will. So we're just going to jump on in. Will you please turn with me over to the book of James? We'll be looking in chapter 4, starting with verse 14. That'll be our kind of foundational verse to, you know, just get our base layer going. Yet do you not know what your life will be like tomorrow? You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. So we're not here for a long time. We're here for, honestly, a very short time. And in that short time, we are told that tomorrow isn't guaranteed. And so, why are we so hesitant when it comes to fulfilling God's word and our duties sometimes? Let's take from this morning until now. How would you rate yourself, honestly, just in your mind, you don't have to say any numbers, how would you rate yourself as a Christian? How would you, if God were to come down and judge you right now, from now for your whole life, how would he judge you? Would you have fulfilled his commandments, or would he condemn you? Alright, now I have a couple points I want to look at. The first one being, why is it so important that we remember that tomorrow is not guaranteed? Well, if we don't, then we won't be living as righteously as we should be. If you will now turn with me over to the book of Galatians, chapter 5, starting with verse 16. Excuse me, I'm a little congested tonight. So I have my water just in case, so bear with me here. I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And so, you're not able to fulfill your commandments and your duties to God if you're fulfilling, maybe not fulfilling, but you're doing the things of the flesh. And so it kind of goes back to serving two masters. You're not able to do the things of the world, of the flesh, and be pleasing to God. And so another thing for why it's so important that we remember that tomorrow isn't guaranteed is life becomes less stressful, meaning that we know that we have an everlasting home in heaven. So turn with me over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we will start 2 Corinthians 5 at verse 17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. And so if you are stuck in your fleshly ways, and you are doing the things that you're not supposed to be doing, and you're not following that straight and narrow path that God has set before you, you can be baptized and repent of your sins, and you can be born again, and you don't have to look back at those things that you did in the flesh. And he gives us that opportunity. And we'll begin to feel as if we always have time to please God rather than pleasing Him right now if we think that we'll always have the next day to do it. So turn with me. We're actually going to read James 4 again. But we're going to start a little earlier at verse 13. And we're going to go a little farther this time. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we shall go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. And so it's a dangerous path when you put off your duties. When you take the path of the Lord and you start to cut the corners on it a little bit, and you start to kind of turn that path. Say that you had a busy day, Sunday or Saturday, and you are kind of tired, so why not just sleep in a little bit, right? And so just little things like that, and you start to just cut those little corners. You're like, you know, I worked all day, or I went to school all day on Wednesday, and I'm really tired, and so I can just get ready for the next day and not go to Wednesday night Bible class. That just seems easier. I'll just go the next week. I'm sure he'll just review it or something like that. And so as you do that, you slowly drift farther and farther away. And you know, that it brings a memory to me. When I went camping with the Boy Scouts back in probably November, there was probably about 2.5 feet of snow, so it was about right here on me. And we had snowshoes, and it had just dumped snow the night before. And we were heading back, and everybody was so excited to finally be leaving. And so we were, and you know, me being the person that plans the campouts was a little iffy on that. But so we were heading back down, and we were trekking through this heavy amount of snow, and the trail wasn't broken in at all. And so while we were hiking, we were following these trail markers, but they weren't very clear. And so we were hiking down, and if here's the pathway, we were going about right there. And so while we were heading down, it went farther and farther and farther away until an hour and a half, 2 hours passed, and we were a long way away from where we should have been. And so we had to hike back, go around, and then finally make it back to our trailhead. Luckily, we figured it all out, and we made it back home. And that's the same way with Christianity. If you just sway from that path just a little bit, it makes it a lot easier to go on that pathway until you're too far to even see the trail. And so now, what happens if we act as if we have more time than we actually do? Well, we'll become lazy as Christians, always doing less than we should be. And so, if you'll turn with me over to the book of Proverbs, we'll go to the Old Testament now. Oops, wrong way. Excuse me. There we go. Proverbs chapter 13, and we will be starting with verse 4. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the soul of the diligent is made fat. And so if you're not building that relationship with God, if you're not following that pathway, if you're not doing the steps you need to do day by day, then your relationship with God will weaken, and it's going to continue to weaken unless you do something about that. And continue, we're told in Isaiah that sin is separation from God. And so when you sin, you're straining and weakening that relationship. And so we need to strengthen that and follow that right path and not think about our everyday things such as work or school, and put those things ahead of our priority to God and strengthen that relationship. And so when we remember that tomorrow isn't guaranteed, we get when we don't remember that tomorrow is not guaranteed, we'll get caught up with the things of this world, such as school, work, or family, recreation, things like that. So turn with me over to Ephesians. I know we're kind of jumping all over the place. The book of Ephesians, chapter 5, and we'll be starting at verse 11. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. So instead of getting caught up with the things of this world, like what I just stated, guide those other people that are off that path of righteousness to the path of righteousness. Instead of getting involved and participating in those evil deeds, take them away from that and try to straighten their path. It can be really easy to get caught up with those things, and we need to make sure we're not. The world will start slowly creeping into our lives, making Christianity and our duties to God less and less of a priority when we aren't thinking about our priorities to God. So turn with me over to, let's see here, Matthew, the book of Matthew. And we'll be in chapter 6, starting with verse 33. Seek first his kingdom and all and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own. So instead of getting caught up with those priorities and getting caught of the world, instead of getting caught up with the priorities of the world, we need to make sure that we're keeping our priorities straight by looking at our duty to God and the things that we need to do for that. You know, the whole reason that this lesson came about was I was listening to music a few months ago, maybe two, and Tim McGraw came on, Live Like You Were Dying. Raise your hand if you guys know that song. Yeah, okay, good. And so, you know, in the song, for those of you that don't know it, he, you know, there's this middle-aged man, he's in his early 40s, and, you know, he says he's got a lot of life before him, he's living great, and then he's diagnosed with some sort of illness to where he's only got a short amount of time to live. And so he, you know, he starts thinking, he's looking at all these x-rays, he's, what am I going to do? And then he talks to this man that also has a short amount of time to live, and he says to him, you know, what I did was I went skydiving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing, you know, he did all these different things, he rode a bull, and he did all these things that he wanted to do in his normal day-to-day life, but he never got around to doing because he was so caught up with the world. And, you know, there's a quote from the song, and it says, someday I hope you get the chance to live like you were dying. Excuse me. And, you know, we shouldn't wait until we have a time limit, till we know that we're going to pass on from this earth and meet our Creator, to do the things, maybe not the things like he's talking about, go skydiving and stuff, but, you know, fulfill our duties to God. You shouldn't wait to be a good spouse, read your Bible, obey God's word, be a friend to someone, and do all the things you wanted to do. When I got to go to Israel, the first moment that really hit me when I was in Israel was after a couple of nights in Netanya, when we just had a flight to JFK, which is like 4 hours. Then we had the trip to Israel from JFK Airport in New York, which was about like 10 to 12 hours. And so I'd been flying for a long time, and so I was really tired. And so in the, let me see if I get this straight. I would wake up at 5:30 in the morning, every morning in Israel, and that's because my whole mental clock was rearranged. Now, I can't remember, are they 12 hours behind, 10 hours behind, or are they 10 hours ahead? 10 ahead. So it felt like the afternoon, evening for me when I was getting up in the morning. And so I was just completely thrown off. And so at 5:30 in the morning, I was wide awake. And so I remember waking up, and it was 5:30. I'm like, can't believe. We didn't have to be there till like 8 or something. And so I remember getting out of bed, you know, kind of doing my morning stretches, and then stepping over my luggage, and Elena's over there waking up. And then I remember looking over to my left and seeing the big glass window, or the sliding door, had this gold ring around it, and the curtains were closed. And so I walked over to it, I grabbed the curtains, and I opened them up, and I got blasted with this gold light and this aura of just peace. And so I grabbed the sliding door and I opened it, and I just felt this gust of beautiful, warm wind. Because, you know, we're there in the middle of June, and so it's probably like 70 degrees at 5:30. And so I remember stepping out onto the balcony and looking out to it and just looking over the Sea of Galilee. I'm looking at the mountains, and the sun's halfway up one of the mountains with the beautiful trees and the birds over my head. And I remember just looking at it thinking, wow, I am in Israel. It was just an amazing moment. And then that happened night after night after night. And so I had that over and over again. It was just an amazing experience. And so just being able to do that strengthened me as a Christian more than I could have imagined. I was able to go and see the different parts of where Jesus preached, and I saw, we went to the Israel Museum and we saw the sarcophagus of King Herod, and it was just amazing, all these different things that I saw. And then doing these sermons, you know, it just all these different things, they helped me to become a stronger Christian by taking these opportunities that are given to me or placed onto me, thank you, Ron. by doing these, I get the opportunity to learn more than I would have ever imagined. You know, they say the best way to learn is to teach, and that's completely valid. You know, I just get all this experience. And so in conclusion, of course we need to take the opportunities that we're given in this life, like my trips to Israel, or my trip to Israel, excuse me. But we can't let those things get in the way of we can't let them get in the way of our duty to God. So we need to make sure that we're having a set priorities. I like to think of anything really, like Christianity, as like weight loss. Now, pretend that I'm a severely overweight person. Not severely, let's just say I'm an overweight person, and I look over and I'm looking through the magazines and I see these beautiful fit people, and I'm just like, man, I really wish that I could be like them. I really wish that I could be that fit and run like they can and jump like they can, but it just takes so long. You know, I can't wait 6 months, a year, 2 years to do that and go through all that pain. And then what we really should be doing is, instead of having that mindset, say, okay, here I am now. Here's where I want to be. I need to take these steps, maybe cut out certain things day by day, and take it on today. Don't look towards the future. Look now. Look at the things you can do now to improve yourself, because that's how you're going to change, not by looking out over there. And so it all comes down to consistency. You need to look at today as a Christian and say, okay, why am I doing the things that I'm doing? Why am I not following and doing the duties that I'm supposed to do as a Christian? And then go on from there. And so if you're in that position, if you feel like, man, you know, James is right, I should be doing that. And so, and you say, I should be living day by day, and you know what you need to do, get baptized, come forward. Please stand as we sing this next song, A Mighty Fortress, number 16.